The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome this morning to Hebron Presbyterian Church on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. It's our prayer that today and through this Holy Week, as we are gathered for worship and remembering Christ's last days, as we approach Easter, that you would know and experience the compassion and mercy of our God in Jesus Christ. I have just a couple of announcements for you today. Today is the last day to RSVP for our Maundy Thursday Agape Meal, which is on this Thursday, April 2nd, 6:30 p.m. The sign-up sheet was stolen from Holman Hall. So if you haven't already written it down on that sheet, just please come and tell me. We just need a rough number at this point. But today is the last day, so come and tell me because they're going to cook the food, okay? If you look in your bulletin for a moment, there are a couple of differences. So this morning we will be participating in the procession of the palms. So as we get to that point in worship, I will invite you all to stand, and following the choir, so I'll be first, the choir will be next, we will be processing through the building, out around the sidewalk, and back in into the sanctuary. If for whatever reason you do not wish to process with us, Marcus will still be here playing some thematic music as we remain in the Palm Sunday mood. So please don't feel any need if you can't go with us. There is room for you here. But we will go and process and we'll come back. Again, if you look in your bulletin, there is a call and response that we'll be doing throughout. So I'll say, Hosanna.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
So as we process and as we lift our palms high, as we go through the building and outside, I will be calling Hosanna, and you will respond with,
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Okay. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion.
Shout loud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Lo, your king comes to you.
Triumphant and victorious is he.
Humble and riding on a donkey.
On a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ, who entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along the way. Let these branches be signs of his victory and grant that we who carry them may follow him in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter into your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Hosanna!
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna!
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna!
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, at the beginning of this great and holy week, your Son revealed that true triumph would not come as a result of earthly power. Rather, he emptied himself, took the form of a servant, and was obedient for our sakes, even to death on the cross. Mercifully grant that we, who were reborn in your Son's death and resurrection by baptism, may live victoriously in that perfect freedom the world neither knows nor gives. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Children who are online for our children's message. Many of you will know today, we often call it Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday having to do with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's what we read in that Matthew passage as we began. But also in the Christian tradition, this Sunday is known as Passion Sunday. So we move from, in technical terms, the liturgy of the palms, what we just did, into the liturgy of the passion. When we retell the story, the whole story of Jesus entering Jerusalem all the way to the cross often happens just in one day. And that day is today. And so in that spirit, we will read this story from our Jesus Storybook Bible entitled The sun stopped shining. So you're a king, are you? The Roman soldiers jeered. Then you'll need a crown and a robe. They gave Jesus a crown made out of thorns and put a purple robe on him and pretended to bow to him. Your majesty, they said. Then they whipped him and spat on him. They didn't understand that this was the Prince of Life, the King of heaven and earth, who had come to rescue them. The soldiers made him a sign, "Our King," and nailed it to a wooden cross. They walked up a hill outside the city. Jesus carried the cross on his back. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but they were going to kill him in the way criminals were killed. Now, even though it was midday, a dreadful darkness covered the face of the world. The sun could not shine. The earth trembled and quaked. The great mountain shook. Rock split in two until it seemed that the whole world would break. That creation itself would be torn apart. The full force of the storm of God's fierce anger at sin was coming down and on his own son instead of his people. It was the only way that God could destroy sin and not those whom he loved. Then Jesus shouted out with a loud voice, "It is finished." And it was. He had done it. Jesus had rescued the whole world. "Father," Jesus cried, "I give you my life." And with a great sigh, he let himself die. Strange clouds and shadows filled the sky, purple, orange, black. Jesus' friends gently carried him. They laid him in a new tomb carved out of the rock. How could Jesus die? What had gone wrong? What did it mean? They didn't know anything more, except they did know that their hearts were breaking. That's the end of Jesus, the leaders said. But just to be sure, they sent strong soldiers to guard the tomb. They hauled a large stone in front of the door of the tomb so that no one could get in or out.
Reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Listen now to God's word. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our good and gracious God, our Father in heaven, as we come to your word, which is truth, speak to us the truth. By the ministry of your Holy Spirit, open to us again the mysteries of Christ and him crucified. Meet us here as we remember the mighty and merciful acts accomplished at Calvary. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, the 27th chapter, beginning in the 11th verse. You can find it in our Pew Bible, and that might help in following along. This is after the scripture that we read this morning. This is all from the events of leading up into Jerusalem. So some scholars have talked about the Gospels as a passion narrative with a really long introduction, because the events at the beginnings of the gospel seem to go pretty quickly, but from the moment he enters Jerusalem, it slows down, and we see scene by scene by scene with utter exactness. I'm sorry. Matthew. There are not 27 chapters in John. Matthew chapter 27. The Lord keeps me humble. You can find it on page 810 in your Pew Bible. Listen now to God's word. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. When they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." A week which began in celebration ends in mourning, one marked by triumph, now wrapped in defeat. And as an outsider looking in on the events of this Holy Week, they are all too curious. For just days ago, this man, Jesus, was lauded and honored by the masses. Like the parades for rulers of old, the people waved palms as banners of victory. laid down their cloaks on the road in reverence, shouted, "Hosanna," which means save us, in anticipation for what is to come. They thought, this is the man long foretold who had come to save God's people. This must be the day of salvation. They expected Jesus to come in and overthrow the Roman oppressors and reestablish David's throne in Israel. And riding on the back of that donkey, Jesus was the exact image from the prophets of that Messiah king, come to make all things right. And so the people rejoiced. But not long after, things were different. No longer the honored one, Jesus stands as a man despised and rejected, betrayed by Judas, abandoned by those who were closest to him, handed over to the chief priests and the elders, questioned by Herod, interrogated by Pilate, mocked and flogged, carrying the cross to Golgotha. All along, Jesus never even raised a defense, though he was innocent. Like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And those very same people who once celebrated him now rang out with cries of, "Let him be crucified." At the place of the skull, he was nailed to the cross, executed as a criminal among criminals. No longer that one blessed who comes in the name of the Lord, but one accursed. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." This seemed like the end to Jesus of Nazareth, the final word on what he was trying to do. Like so many so-called messiahs in the past who had come and gone, he was silenced by those powers that be. He suffered the worst of what people can inflict on one another. In the eyes of the world, this was an utter defeat, the natural end to a radical religious movement. It even has caused some modern scholars looking back to label Jesus as a failed prophet, as if everything after his entry into Jerusalem was a surprise. Unforeseen. But any close reading of Scripture would show you that Jesus was never blindsided. No. Three times in the Gospel of Matthew, let alone the other Gospels, but three times in Matthew does he foretell the exact circumstances of his death. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. This is utterly amazing. He knew, and still he went. For the events leading up to and including the crucifixion were not a surprise for Jesus. And they weren't even a detour from his mission. No. They were all essential. Essential to his role, to his work as the Messiah King. Jesus did not embody what the crowds thought a king would be. He didn't come with great power and mighty armies to overthrow. He didn't establish his rule, set up himself in the temple. He did not do what they expected a king to do. Yet, he was and is who they proclaimed him to be. They were not wrong to shout Hosanna, because Jesus did come to save his people, to defeat the powers that were oppressing the world. It's just that those powers were not Rome, nor the corrupt religious establishment, but they were the powers of sin and death and hell in the lives of all people. He came to defeat that which was oppressing not only his people, but all people. Jesus did come to establish a kingdom, but it was not a kingdom of this world that's wrought by violence. Instead, he suffered the violence of the world to make room for God's reign. Jesus would not be seated on Pilate's stool or in Caesar's chair, but he was enthroned as King of Glory on the cross. And even the people's mocking told the truth. This is the King. Our Lord showed the world just what kind of king we needed. Not one of power and prestige, of military might and strategic cunning, but of man of humility, laying down his life for his people. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. My friends, Jesus' death was not an accident, something unforeseen, but it was essential to God's plan of salvation, a key aspect of Christ's kingship. Like any great ruler, he defends and rescues his people, yet not with force, but through sacrifice. This is the truth for all who believe. Jesus stood in your place, taking on himself your deadness, your sin, your shame. He suffered God's justice against the injustice of the world, all to ransom you from bondage to the powers of death, all to set you free and to claim you as a citizen of God's kingdom, to make you right, to make all things right. Jesus first had to endure the worst of what the world gives, with all its consequences. And the amazing thing is, he did it willingly, out of love for you. This is what true kingship looks like. He was abandoned and betrayed so that to you he would be faithful and true. He was mocked and despised so that you are loved and cherished. He was counted as guilty, so that your guilt and your shame would be washed away. He was utterly forsaken, so that now he promises to be with you always. No matter what life brings, You are his, and he is yours. This is our King of Glory. A man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity. Yet given the name that is above every name. Will you not come and bow before him? Amen. Responding to God's word, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and share in his resurrection. Hear us now as we lift to you our cares. Gracious Father, you ordain all things to come to pass according to your will and for your glory. So govern and preserve the world by your sovereign providence that all peoples and nations would recognize your rule. Grant peace and an end to violence across the globe, and empower us to be agents of your reign, promoting concord and working for the common good of all people. We pray, O Father, that you would bring an end to divisions in this nation, that we may not see what makes us different as much as what makes us one, our common humanity, seeking the good of one another. We pray for those who this day find themselves in dire straits, unable to provide, unable to see a future for themselves. We pray that you would shine your light upon them, that you would empower your people to come up behind them and support them, that there would be a future in sight. Help us, O God, to see those most in need in our community and in our lives, to walk beside them in love. We thank you, O Father, as we remember teachers and school administrators and classroom aides and all of those who work in school, especially as we come to the end of this school year. We give you thanks for their perseverance and for the gifts that you have given them to help educate the young. And we pray that they may find rest and renewal in this, their vocation, and that all of it may glorify you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So rule in our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that every act of our wills would be in accordance with your ways. Grant to us, with your church universal, knowledge and full insight so that we would do what is good and right as we await the day of your coming. Produce in us a great harvest of righteousness to the praise and glory of your name. And let our love overflow to you, to one another, and to the whole world as a witness to the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, for our brothers and sisters in the church in Burkina Faso. Bless the growth of urban congregations and of rural missions, that your gospel message may be proclaimed with faithfulness and compassion, and that many may come to know you as Lord and friend. We pray for our sister churches in this Gushan County. Bless our ministries. Help us to find new ways to partner with one another in gospel witness and presence, and bring unity, O God, instead of discord. Father, we also lift to you this church, which you have called Hebron. Grant us wisdom and courage to follow your will, to know where you are leading us and how you are calling us in this time and in this place to embody and proclaim the gospel. We pray also that you would increase in us and help us to grow in holiness so that we would shine Christ's light to all the world. Holy Comforter, dwell in us so that just as you raised Jesus from the tomb, you would give life to our mortal bodies until we are transformed at Christ's coming. Give life this day to all who find themselves in the grip of death, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Especially, O God, we lift to you those people and circumstances which we name before you in this moment. O blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accept these our prayers and grant us patience as we await your answer, trusting that you are faithful to the end. For we make these prayers in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us offer our life and labors to the Lord. us pray. O Lord, as we remember the tokens of the suffering and passion of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give these our gifts as our own tokens of gratitude and faith, as we look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Use them for your glory, and help us to steward the gifts you give well, so that all the world might know Jesus Christ is King, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Following our postlude, I would invite you to Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. As we enter this great and holy week, we remember that Jesus Christ came knowing what lay before him, knowing what he would suffer, knowing the abandonment that he would face, and yet he did it willingly, out of love, to set you free. So go forth in this truth to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, every day. Always. Amen.